The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
If I've been thrown into a pit, and I was from the time I was a little bitty girl, sexual abuse, any kind of abuse, any kind of neglect will throw you in a pit.
And I'm next, Beth Moore, along with James and Betty, provides hope for those stuck in a pit.
It's a hole the enemy hopes to bury us alive in. And you are still alive. You're watching this. You've still got life and breath. Get out of that pit.
Help to get you out of that pit. Next.
Thank you so much for letting us join you in your home or wherever you may be watching. I'm Betty Robinson. This is James, and we've got Beth back.
I'm telling you, Beth Moore. You know, one thing Wednesdays with Beth now is just every day with Beth.
That's and okay people, with me.
Oh, I know that. I mean, I think really there's kind of a slow move just sort of filter me out. I mean, really, a lot of people like you may watch the program every day just to see if Betty's going to say something. You say, I think if I just keep watching, she'll say something. By the way, I always encourage Betty to share. Is that true?
That's true.
Because every time you share, my heart's blessed. I can watch people in the audience, and they listen wherever you go. People want to know. But Betty is so typical of many of you. She really likes to brighten the corner where she is. She's perfectly happy there. But God has shown her that she can go beyond her comfort zone. You can too. But a lot of times we don't have the ability to get out there outside the comfort zone because we're trapped. And that's what we're talking about with Beth Moore, who is here today. And it's get out of that pit. Straight talk about God's deliverance. And that means really setting us free so that we don't have to live in prison or bondage or defeat. And she says, a former pit dweller, Beth Moore, knowing what it's like to be defeated. And all of us understand that. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but if you're held captive and trampled down, pushed down, held back in a pit of defeat or despair or depression, whatever it is, there is a deliverer. There's someone who loves you so much, and there's no pain too big, no hurt too severe that God cannot heal it. And we're here living proof of that. Would you welcome Beth Moore, the author of this book we're talking about? Beth, good to see you.
Thank you, my good friend. You know what I was thinking as you guys were talking, and Betty, as you made that introduction, what we're talking about here this week is so real to all three of us. That it's so important to us that you would know that this is authentic. We may not be slick, we may not be good at it, but it is real. Because so many of these conversations, you know, your wife Betty is my good friend. And I cannot count the conversations, Betty, that you and I have had over cups of cappuccino over a coffee table, talking about these very kinds of things, where God has brought us from and the miracle that He's done in our lives, and as different as they were, equal bondage, equal depth of pits that we were in, but totally different ways of getting there, and yet just as miserable in those places. So these are not just conversations we have in front of you. They're conversations we have in the privacy of our own personal relationships.
You know, you and I had what would be a little bit of a more dysfunctional or a little bit of a more unsettled childhood and past, and we had some very painful experiences and some exposure.
Yes.
Betty grew up in a sort of comfortable church setting, church family, everything looking good, kind of religious and so forth, and yet, boy, she was slammed. And, I mean, just whipped with fear and insecurity. And you and I had, I mean, you know, we almost compare baggage and get in competition wondering who had the biggest truckload of junk. Because, I mean, we had a truckload of it that only a miracle working God could unload. And yet Betty needed the same grace, the same power, the same God, and the same deliverance. And that's the reason we're trying to talk to everybody who's watching, because He is deliverer. Beth, one of the things that you deal with in the book so effectively, you really divide it up into some areas when we're talking about how we get out of the pit. I mean, you made it very clear that we can be thrown in it, like Joseph was, or circumstances, or cruel people.
Yes.
Throw us in, just tragedies.
A death in the family, whatever. Something like that, whatever the crisis
right.
may be.
Or we can literally, what's the other?
Slip in.
Slip in. We can slide in.
We didn't intend this to happen. We just found our way.
Slip in, and then we can jump in.
Yes.
Well, we just choose.
Haul off and know that we're going to get ourselves into trouble, but we think that momentary feeling or comfort is going to be worth it.
Right.
And jump right
boy,
in.
There we are. So however you get in, we need help to get out. And you point out three areas. I think it's really important. And that is, say them for us.
Cry out. We've got to begin by crying out. We'll take these apart in just a moment. Confess. And then consent, and I can't wait for us to get there. And one reason I did, and I made a whole section of the book on how to articulate this into prayer, because I think Betty can relate with this. When you were saying a moment ago, when you were talking about our backgrounds, James, I had all the trash that you and I have talked about, but I also was in church continually. Hmm. I was in a church pew every single time the doors open. I was in all the youth organizations, everything you can imagine, and I was in that kind of sin and that kind of despair. It was just an absolute misery. But here's what went wrong with me. I heard the what continually. I heard the word sin continually. I knew that something was wrong with me. I knew that it was supposed to look like this and not like this. But for the life of me, I did not know how. You know, when you just want to hold up your hand and go, oh, okay, but could someone tell us how to live in victory? Not just what we've done wrong and what we need to do right, but I lacked the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even understand how He could empower me to live differently and how my mind could be renewed. That's what we're doing in the book. There is scripture that is then transformed into words of prayer that a person can use. When you're in terrible bondage and you need so desperately to be set free, sometimes you don't even know what to say. You don't know where to begin. I want to take some of the guesswork out of that. Open that page up, open your mouth, put your whole heart into it, and read these words aloud. And it begins with crying out. And I've had a number of people say, can't God just set us free? Why do we have to be the initiators? And you got to always remember, He initiates all matters of faith. He's the author and finisher. So He's always the one starting it. But He's going to initiate something in us that will finally cry out, help me. And you think, why? He could do it without us ever even acknowledging that we're in it. He wants us to know who our deliverer is. He doesn't want there to be any doubt when all of it is said and done that He is the one who has brought us out. It begins with that cry out. A number of different words are translated from the Hebrew language in the Old Testament and in the Psalms. But that particular one that I based it on in Psalm 40 is one that really means in the beginning of that chapter to cry out in such a way that it is a deep, agonizing groan from way down here. What Oprah might call an ugly cry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just cry out with everything you've got. Lord, save me here. It begins with that. I love Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. It's got to start with a cry out so that we know.
Isn't that the hardest first step, though? Because it's easy to cry out. And I know. It's always easier to see someone else's faults a lot of times than it is your own. Yes. You know, here's a big preacher, you know, and I thought, but I know him pretty well. Yes. There's some things he could change. Yes. You know? And so I'm praying. I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. God, please, because I saw he'd lost his joy. He'd lost his peace. Yeah. He'd lost his zeal for God, you know. Yeah. And I'm crying out, God, help James. Well,
that's so good, Betty.
One day, after several years, you know, God answered my prayer, and God began to show him some things and bring freedom into his life and deliver him from some things, and it scared me to death.
You got what you asked for, and it scared you.
It scared me because I didn't understand it, and so I began to draw back and, you know, defensively, and didn't. And James was this meek and mild, which he'd not been before, you know. And he was just over there, you know, not pushing on. Even though I knew in his heart he was wanting to say, "Oh, you just don't understand this freedom that God's brought to me. I want you to have it." That's just like that desire. You want to pass it on when it happens to you. And so, but he was being very patient with me, and I began to put up defenses and fight the very thing that I had prayed and asked God for.
We're scared of.
Because
change.
You know why? Yes. The time that I spent praying, I had time to put my outline out and thank God, now it'd be nice if you'd do it this way, you know, and put all these little wants and desires underneath it.
Here's what I want you to do, and
God,
here's how I want you to do it.
He just scratched my whole list, you know.
And he never said, looks at mine
this
either.
This is not my way. He said, this is not my way, His way. I want to do it. He wants to do it His way, and His way is so much better because in time, with patience from my husband, and just God just gently, in many ways, just tugging at my heart and saying, having to, God wants it for us as much.
That's
as,
right.
You know, when we get to that point, we ask for it. Well, he wants it more for us.
Well, you know, by the time you're crying out, he's nudged you to do it.
Yeah. And he's he the did one, bring me yes. to that point where I was
turning
crying
up the fire
out,
to God.
You know, when
please.
I was trying to understand why it was important to cry out, and by the way, Betty wanted me free, she just didn't want me that free.
Yes.
And she didn't want me free that way. She had some other ways, which it seemed like he got pretty well all of them, except the progress that he continues to make. But when you were talking about crying out, there seems to be a sense of desperation and helplessness that seems to imply that there's a higher power, a greater power, a potential, a possibility that is beyond me, mm-hmm. and I need something beyond me. I'm not adequate. So when I'm crying out, it's an acknowledgement of my inadequacy and a recognition of the possibility of your adequacy. Well, that's what the cry
yeah,
does.
So, I mean, so many 12-step programs are based on that very thing. They just may not even realize that they're echoing a concept that God taught us through His Word and that David the psalmist taught us, that it begins with crying out, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Mm. It begins with a call. It
and
begins
by the way,
with
that's continual
out.
Through the psalm and through the one who
yes,
needed deliverance and came to understand it fully. He is continually saying what you're
yes,
saying
indeed.
Over and over. And by the way, in the end of the book, because I'm going to tell you, what Beth actually does is she goes through each day of the week, Sunday all the way through Saturday, and breaks it out, cry out, confess, and consent. And you've actually put biblical prayers. One of the things that happened in my life was getting in my hands some of Kay Arthur's teachings mm-hmm. that a man who prayed
Kay.
For me put in my hands was the Confessions of a New Creation and Blockages to Communication is what we call them, that we don't acknowledge the truth, we don't confess the truth, we don't say the truth, we're agreeing with a liar, our mind's full of lies, our life is defeated, we need to begin to confess the truth. And this is what you're actually putting here. You're actually taking us through the Scriptures so that we're beginning to think biblical thoughts. When you're thinking Bible thoughts, in Bible words, you're thinking God's thoughts yes. and you're saying His words.
And your mind's being renewed.
We can get yes. so full of the Word that we measure what we see and what we hear by what He says.
That's
the
right.
Bible says, you know, check each day, test those things to see whether they're true. You know, go to the Word to see whether what you're hearing is true. That means when you go to church, you can go to the Word to see if the preacher just told you the truth or not.
Yes, yes, yes. And one of the things I suggest to him, it's something that was so important for me, is that when I am praying Scripture, and I don't pray Scripture all the time, but the most hardcore things that God is doing in me and the things that have been, have involved the biggest obstacles, this has always been what God has taught me to do, because it takes the power of the Word. The burden then falls on the Word instead of me. And when I begin to pray these Scriptures, I would suggest strongly to you that you read it out loud. You'll begin to feel, I know, James and Betty, that you've had this experience where you may start something down and you start reading something of Scripture defeated and without much volume and without much heart to it, but the more you read, mm-hmm. the more you begin to confess to God, the more you begin to say to Him, Lord, come to me in my brokenness and heal me, pull me out of this miry clay, and the more you say it, the more you can feel the power and life of the Word. Remember, the Word is life and power.
It's honey out of the rock.
It truly
it is. It's better than gold, tried in the fire. I mean, it is
you just
absolutely
feel it.
Strengthening. You know what God convicted me of today? And Betty and I driving up here, and so we can go on to confession. That's the next thing. I confess this. I said, you know, I've become so interested in the things that are happening in the world so I can pray about them. That's a very legitimate
yes,
concern.
Yes.
I want to know what's going on so I can pray about it. And you know what the Lord said? He said, this today, I confessed it to Betty. I said, I've been convicted. I need to quit getting up in the morning to check the news and start reading the good news. That's how to start today. Before I even go to the news, even though I might legitimately have a concern to pray about these things, I need to go to the good news, mm-hmm. to His Word. So I confessed. I repented today. And I want to repent every day like that. God shows me something, I want to repent. Let's touch
on that
confession.
I never have a day. Okay, the next one, we talk about crying out, confession, and consenting. Confession, certainly it means confession of sin. And I'm like James, I can't I never have prayer time. When I get up in the morning and have my time with God and come to my time of confession, I never am at a loss for words. Maybe you are. I don't know. But I mean, there's always something, because it'll be just an attitude, maybe that never even showed to anyone else. But God is interested in the condition of my heart and what I was thinking about that situation when you dodge somebody at church because you know they're going to stop you and ask you about something, and you run into the ladies' room. That kind of, well, I don't suppose you run into the ladies' room. But, you know, these kinds of I always have something that God's working on in me.
So. I'd be confessing that.
Yes, you would. And Betty be praying for you.
That's right. Yeah. God deliver him some more.
But confession is even more than that. It's also pouring out. Confess to him how you feel, where you've been. Confess to him your estate. These are all very important parts of freedom, that we feel like we really can trust God with what is on our hearts and minds. He already knows. Tell him, are you upset with him about a decision that he made that you just begged him, Lord, please do this and not this. Please let this be the way this is going to work out. Maybe it could be that the pit of despair you're in is because you've been so upset with a decision God made in a situation years ago that you're just stuck there. That needs to come out. That needs to come out before you and God. You're safe with him. He's a refuge for you. You're not going to say anything to him as you confess the reality of your heart and bring your truth to him. You're not going to confess anything to him that's going to put him off. Yeah. Those are the kinds of things that turn us into despair and bitterness when we keep them in. So confession takes on all sorts of kinds of conversations between us and God. When someone's hurt my feelings. And part of the reason why, if I've been thrown into a pit, and I was from the time I was a little bitty girl, sexual abuse, any kind of neglect will throw you in a pit. Mm. And I was there. There's a lot of blame there. So in that particular situation, you're holding all of these feelings toward people. That's got to come out. That's all part of confession, opening up our mouths and pouring out what is on our heart before God. Then the third one is my very favorite
one.
Can
I ask you one thing about confession?
Please.
Is it important to ever find someone else you can confide in and confess a battle or a problem or a weakness? You know, the Bible talks about confessing our sins one to the other, that we might be healed or might be whole. I have felt that there's a kind of a fear factor in the church mm-hmm. that keeps us from being comfortable ever doing that. We're never comfortable to admit weakness. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, we're even afraid that if we tell, we've just gone before the crucifiers or the firing squad.
And in some situations we may have, yeah. That's what gets in our heads that we can't trust anyone, is because the last time somebody really did tell it. James, we have got to get where we can be trustworthy
with
one another in the body of Christ.
Don't you think that we may need somebody to talk to?
If
I couldn't talk to Betty about my battles and the comfort level that I wish every husband and wife could have, and I don't think you just go dump on each other. I've said that many times. Don't just go unload. But we ought to be able to share our heart and our weaknesses. And I think that's an important part, possibly,
important.
For people to find someone they can even be accountable to and walk through the battle with.
Listen, I'm a huge proponent of solid, godly counseling. I've been asked many, many times, did you go to a counselor? The answer to that question is absolutely yes, I did. And one reason I did was so that I could get someone who was experienced, that used the Word of God with me, was experienced, that could know the right questions to ask me. You can be in such a mess that you don't even, you couldn't define what was wrong with you if you had to. You don't even realize that the tangled mess that you're in the depth of the pit. And so, yes, I believe that many, many things happen just in horizontal relationships between believers that can encourage one another and remind one another of the truth and pray together and be there for one another and bear one another's burdens.
And part of what we're doing when we're sharing Get Out of the Pit is try to get enough Christians healthy that they can be that shoulder to
yes.
lean on and that caring heart and that helpful hand. I mean, we really want that. And you have to be very careful who you confide in, because a lot of times people just pair off in their weaknesses.
Just going to say that I'm so glad you brought that up, because what we want to be careful about not doing is patting each other on the back and going, well, no wonder you're in this mess. And, you know, the thing about Jesus is he did get down there with us in death and in the grave, but he didn't stay down. He said, you know what? I got down there with you through my death, but I'm going to bring you up through my resurrection. There is resurrection power for you to come up out of that grave. And for us, and it's how we define a pit in the book, it's a hole the enemy hopes to bury us alive in.
Right.
And you are still alive. You're watching this. You still got life and breath. Get out of that pit.
Touch on the consent. And it's just strictly a time factor. By the way, I want you to touch on it, but I want you to know that what Beth is offering in the book, for us to spend an entire week just talking about the book, we've offered it before. The reason being is it's changing lives. And we will send it to you today if you ask for it, because we want to help you get out of the pit along with some other materials. But touch on this last one.
I'd love you to get
the whole book and get this truth in you, because we want you out of the pit. God wants you out of the pit. He just simply sends us former pit dwellers and those of us who don't want to live in a pit. We want to help you get out of that pit, all right?
Well, you just said the very key to consenting, and this is why this is my favorite one, because what I'm asking you to do biblically is to consent to what God already wants for you. It's a wonderful thing when you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're praying according to God's will, because you're already promised in His Word. You pray according to His will, and you're going to get it. Well, we got a time to have some questions and answers in our studio audience right here a few moments ago before this program. And one of the women said, Beth, clarify to them how this differs from just being content in your circumstances. And I thought that was such a great question. Listen, God never means for you to be content in a pit. That's
right.
Not what He's talking about. That would be like saying that He tells us to be content in our state of sin and bondage. That is never the will of God. It is the will of God for us to be able to be victorious no matter what kind of circumstance we're in. It's totally different. It's a state of mind, that pit that we drive around and get just cycle from one hole to another. We're taking it with us because it's a state of mind. So when we consent, that whole third portion, after we've cried out, we've confessed not only our sins, but our concerns, our burdens, our confusion, and our unforgiveness toward people, all the things we're going through, but then we consent to what God has already said He wants to do. Lord, You are able to make me stand. In You, I put on the whole armor of God today. I am able in Jesus' name to stand against my enemy in my time of darkness, and confessing and consenting to simply saying, I want what You want for me. That's all I'm asking you to consider.
Totally.
Want what He wants for you. This is the desire of God for you. There's not a single person that could be watching today, James, that could say to us, no matter what got them in, no matter how they planned it and jumped it, you may have planned an office affair. You may have literally set it up, manipulated circumstances toward the worst pit you've ever been into in your life. Even you in that situation, we've all planned one kind of a pit or another. Mm-hmm. At no time can you say it is not God's will for you to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Consent to what He already wants for you.
God.
That's what we're after. This prayer has already been answered. It's been okayed. It is approved in the name of Jesus.
Do all of you appreciate what Beth shares? Her heart.
Well, I'm so excited I'm about to break into a sweat.
Let me just communicate very, very directly with you for just a moment. We have spent this time for an entire week, and we've spent many other days talking about being free. And our whole program here, Life Today, we want to share with the helpless and the people in need. And we don't have many people watch us. You can't watch Life Today on a regular basis and not want to share some life in some way with others. Can't watch, because it'll just happen. But we want to right now let you know we're focused on you. We want you out of the pit. Mm-hmm. See, it's in our heart, all of us who've been sharing. We want you out of the pit. God wants you out of the pit. Here's the issue. Do you want out?
Yes.
Will you agree with God? That's the consent. God, You don't want me here. You're able to get me out. You love me. You're not mad at me. You're not burying me in the pit. I make those choices myself for the enemy. The power of darkness and deception and destruction is after me. I don't want to live there. You make up your mind. Father, I pray every person watching right now, more than anything else, will want to be free from the pit so they can help others get out of the pit, so they can be an expression of who You are, of Your love and Your heart and Your life and Your care. God, please, today, get the viewers, the hearers out of the pit. Give them that desire, Lord, to cry out, I want out, to confess, and to consent, to agree with You, and to move into a life of crying out continually, depending upon you, confessing, telling the truth, and God agreeing with you in Jesus' name. That's our prayer for you. I'd love to send you the book, Get Out of That Pit. I'd like to send you Betty's testimony, Free to Be Me. Boy, it's the story of how a beautiful little church girl and a wonderful mother and wife got out of the pit of defeat. The life you're fighting for, this is a very thorough Bible study. Just taking you through the Word, which is so much of what Beth does continually, Wednesdays with Beth. And then if you'd like to have the teachings of Beth dealing with the pit and getting out of it, who will you trust? Five CDs or five DVDs together, if you want the audio and the video. We're asking you to help us with the outreaches of life. This is one of them to you. You like what we're doing? You bear witness? We'll send you the material. We'll gladly send you the book, because we want to help you. You want someone to pray with you. The prayer line is there. But we'd like to ask you to help us continue the outreaches. Would you pray about making a gift of $49 and ask for the printed material? Or if you want the books along with the DVD and the CDs, prayerfully consider a gift of $89. That'll help us share the love of God in areas all over the world, as well as this outreach to you and your friends. Thank you for making that call. Thanks for watching. With all our heart, we want to see you out of the pit. That's God's will for you. Thanks for making the call. Thanks for your prayers and your help.
Ever been in a pit? Are you in one now? Is somebody you love living there? Don't think for one second God wants you there. In her book, Get Out of That Pit, Beth Moore shares her experience as a former pit dweller who had to be delivered from a life of bone-chilling darkness. Filled with hope and real answers, Get Out of That Pit provides the path to get your life back on track. James and Beth's passion is to see you break through the chains and enjoy the life God intended for you. And so with your gift today of $49 or more to make the outreaches of life possible around the world, we would like to send you Beth's book, along with James' book, The Life You're Fighting For, and Betty Robison's Free to Be Me. For a gift of $89 or more, in addition to receiving these life-changing books, you will also receive Beth's powerful audio and video series, Who Will You Trust? In this five-part series, including her teaching on Get Out of That Pit, Beth teaches you how to move faith from your head to your heart.
Your God loves you. It's not been too long. It's not been too deep. And your God has made sure that you have heard this message today, because your deliverer has come today.
This dynamic collection is available this week only, so please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please do call right now. By the way, it is a frequent occasion when many people say, I need help. You may get a busy. Go ahead and write the number down. Write it down. Be persistent. Your future could depend upon it, and the people you love, because you can help them. Call until you get through. Ask for the book. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your prayers. Encourage your friends to watch life today. You want to say a big thank you to Beth Moore for being here with us this week. Beth, thank you so much. We love you. God bless you and Keith. Thank
you. You're so dear to me. I love you.
If you want to know where Beth Moore is going, by the way, go on lifetoday.org. Find out how you can get Beth Moore scheduled. She does some simulcasts by satellite. 150,000 attended one recently. You could be a part of it, or go to the Coliseum. Check her schedule out.
And the bottom line is, it is an effort to be spiritual without God.
Next week, Ravi Zacharias helps us rediscover God's truth. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.